You're listening to the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor.
I'm Jared Wadley. It's time to party. Elected officials and supporters for the Democratic and Republican parties will attend their national conventions in late August and early September, respectively. University of Michigan political expert Michael Traugott said these conventions have changed in the last three decades. In the 1970s, political leaders selected candidates in what is described as the smoke-filled room phenomenon. Today, delegates are giving their input on presidential choices.
Well, the major factor that explains why we have the conventions that we do nowadays is a set of changes that took place in the 1970s. Prior to that, especially epitomized by the 1968 Democratic Convention in Chicago, when there were protests outside and then Mayor Daley brought in police to disperse the protesters, the party elites became concerned about the so-called smoke-filled room phenomenon, where the political leaders were selecting who the nominees would be without much input from the public. So the Democrats revised their procedures for 1972, and then by 1976, both the Democrats and the Republicans had adopted a system whereby candidates had to run in every state, either in a primary or caucus, and delegates to the national conventions were selected who were pledged on at least the first ballot to support that candidate. So starting in 1976, quite far in advance of the actual convention, we knew who the nominees were going to be, what we now call the presumptive nominee, the person who's got a majority of delegates needed to secure the nomination. There was a shift from the conventions before 1976, when sometimes they had several roll call votes, to a convention in which it was only one roll call vote, and we knew the outcome. And that allowed the parties and the nominee to begin to orchestrate the conventions in a much more systematic way, actually designed specifically for television, to highlight the most positive image that they could create and set up the thematic content for the fall general election campaign. So the conventions became very stylized. They started out with the platform issues. Then the next day they had a series of speeches with former officials or other candidates. Then on the third night they had the balloting for president and vice president, and often the vice president gave a speech. And then on the final night, the fourth night, there was a biographical video of the life of the nominee, and that was followed by a speech given by the nominee of the party that laid out what the themes of the general election campaign would be.
Traugott said the media responded to these changes by reducing the amount of time devoted to convention coverage.
They used to go gavel to gavel, including all day long, starting in the morning. Because of this symbiotic relationship between the candidates and the parties and the media, they moved towards a system where the main content was reduced to 2 or 3 hours in the evening, and it was picked up for 2 or 3 hours, especially by the television networks. And that's what we would expect to see this year. We have an unusual schedule. The conventions are as late as they've ever been because of the Olympics. And the candidates don't want to contest with the Olympics for the coverage of their themes and of the start of their campaign. So this year, the Democrats are not meeting until the last week in August. The tradition is that the party not controlling the White House holds its convention first. And the Republican convention is not starting until Labor Day, the week after the Democrats. So we're going to have the latest conventions and the latest start of the general election campaign in sort of technical terms that we've ever had in the United States.
A boost in the candidates' popularity is not likely to be significant this year because the conventions will be held back-to-back rather than a week or two apart.
The audience for the full convention coverage has traditionally been pretty small, and that was one reason why the networks, for example, went to this reduced schedule. But we have been able to observe historically what we call a post-convention bounce, in which the candidate who's just been the focus of concentrated coverage, most of which is extremely positive because they orchestrated it, gets a little boost in the polls for a week or two until the other party holds its convention, and then that candidate gets a little boost. Oftentimes, there could be a week or two between the two conventions, but not in 2008. They're just going to run back to back. And so these bounces, we probably will be small and counteract each other. So I don't think there'll be very much net effect this year of the conventions.
An important component of the conventions is the candidates' speeches. And this year, the focus is likely on the economy.
Since we think that the state of the economy and solving problems with the national economy will be a central theme of the general election campaign, the parts of their speeches that focus on the economy and propose solutions for dealing with the economy will be very important to get a lot of coverage for each of the candidates.
Michael Traugott is a political science and communication studies professor at the University of Michigan.
This has been a production of the University of Michigan News Service. Visit us on the web at www.umich.edu/news.